I'm available to start at right tackle.
You can't see when I have clothes on.
Right. Well, there's not an even playing field. There's never been an even playing field. There never will be an even playing field.
But... What shampoo do you use on your hair?
You don't need to be Superman to play in this offense.
You're listening to The Red Zone.
Welcome, Badgers fans, to another episode of The Red Zone. For our second podcast here of the spring, leading up to the spring game on Friday night. We got Zach Heilkern from 106.7 FM The Zone here to help us break down kind of what we've seen the last few weeks and kind of get you ready for the spring game and what you're going to see on Friday. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing great. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, I think we should start with a couple things we saw at today's practice that were a little surprising. Michael Dieter getting the reps at left tackle, and David Edwards is kind of, you know, dealing with a little bit of an ankle issue, so it's kind of why it happened. But when you look at the big picture, it seems like this could be a possibility, whether A, David Edwards gets hurt, or B, they just decide a guy like Tyler Biadasz is really impressing at center, so they want to move their line around a little bit. And but what do you think about Dieter at center, and do you think it's something that you know may happen?
How remarkable is it that he can play center, he can play guard, and now apparently he can play tackle?
Yeah,
he's a special kid in that respect. If it happens, it kind of seems like Ryan Groyd in 2013, where they were trying to replace their left tackle, which is Ricky Wagner, and they had Tyler Meritz there, and it just wasn't working, and so they were gonna move Groyd out to left tackle, and it ended up, injuries always mess with things, and it ended up, you know, in fall camp, eventually Tyler Meritz ended up being okay and sticking in there and being a starter the next 3 years. But they have so many moving pieces at tackle, and there's just so much inexperience at both ends. I mean, you have David Edwards, who we think is a veteran, but he's really not, about it, especially left tackle. Never played a game at left tackle. They don't have a single person, maybe outside of Brett Connors, that actually played left tackle in a game in college. So if Dieter's forced out there, it's out of necessity that they don't feel good enough about David Edwards out there. We've seen it one practice, right?
Yeah.
It's a little early to sit here and say that that's going to be the case moving forward. But if it is, they're trying to find their best five. And Dieter is their best center, their best guard, and potentially their best left tackle.
He could be.
That's how good they are right now. I mean, that's how good he is right now. Maybe not completely solid they are at left tackle. But to me, that's their only weak spot. Like, I think they'd be good at right tackle if they move Edwards back over there, whether it's Maxwell or whether it's, you know, Patrick Castle. I think they'll be okay there. Left tackle is the only real question mark for me, because I think they're really good on inside. They just have so many inside guys, don't they?
They do. And, you know, talking to Dieter after practice today, he kind of laid it out like, you know, we do have just so many ways we can go with this. And you know, he mentioned Tyler Biadasz as being a guy that actually almost played last year.
Yep.
They thought he was ready, and he said that they could throw him in a game right now and feel perfectly fine with him at center. And then you still have, you know, John Deason has been out this whole spring, but, you know, he's still probably your left guard. Then, so, you know, like you mentioned, you could move, you know, David Edwards, you mentioned, seems like a veteran. I mean, he's not even been an offensive lineman for 12 months yet.
Right,
so,
exactly.
I mean, he was a tight end, you know, less than a year ago. So it's interesting to see kind of how this – it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. We're not going to know until fall camp, maybe midway through fall camp, exactly what's going to happen here. But
And you wonder how important the left – and left tackle is important. Both tackle spots are important. But your quarterback is left-handed.
Yeah.
And so the right tackle spot may be even more important than the left tackle. But, you know, the left tackle, I think, is the more difficult position to play, no matter who your quarterback is. So they're looking for their best five. That's all Joe Rudolph has said.
Yeah.
Just looking for the best five. And if Michael Dieter is their best five left tackle, and he's their left tackle, and you move David Edwards back to the right tackle, and you have Deedson, Biadasz, and Benchwall, okay, so what? That's what works.
We also got to wait and see if Dieter is a good left tackle, because we really don't know. I mean, he hasn't really played that position, so there's no guarantee.
It's very true.
That, you know, he's going to go out there.
No, he's going to be
shut down the left side.
Yeah, he's going to be Ryan Ramczyk. It's okay. He's going to go out there. He's going to be an All-American in his first year starting. It's all good. Yeah, we obviously don't know.
Yeah, and one other thing that happened, maybe this is nothing, but one other thing that at practice that happened today was that Derek Tindall took a couple wide receiver reps, and, you know, he would go in there last year a little bit and take a couple of those one-on-one reps at receiver, and we talked to Ted Gilmore. He'd tell us, oh, it's nothing. Don't read into it. We're just short on numbers at receiver. But they're not short on numbers at receiver anymore, and these are team reps he took today. I talked to Tyndall after, and he said, he basically said it could happen. Didn't really want to talk about it yet, and he said, we'll see. But he said he'd like to do it. Do you think that can make any impact at all? He did take one jet sweep snap today too. So, do you think that's something we could see?
I did last year. I thought it was because they didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Jazz and it was Rob Wheelwright. Those were your only two guys you could count on, and it didn't happen. We didn't see it once last year. This year, when you have Jazz and Quintez and AJ Taylor and Kendrick Pryor's look good. Those guys, plus you have another weapon in Troy Fumagalli, and you have the tight ends. Like, you're not hurting for weapons that maybe you were last year a little bit on the outside. Me personally, I think Derek could play wide receiver. He's especially deep balls. Like, I think he's got a knack for that. But I also think he's extremely important to them defensively. And because I like their top two corners, and I actually like their third corner if it's going to be Carrier Williams. But beyond that, you just don't know. So I would always be hesitant to use him in both ways. But I think it's also a way of Derek's a character. Would you agree with that? I mean, he's so maybe they're just throwing him a bone or two here and letting him do that because he probably pesters them so much about doing it. I know that's what Paul Chris said last year about it. So maybe that's what it is more than anything else.
And, when Jazz Peavy's still on your team, you can't have Tyndall run the Jazz sweep.
Right? Stop it with the Jazz sweep, man. It is not the Jazz.
That's what it's called.
That
right?
Bothers the heck out of me. You know that, too.
That's why I brought it.
Yeah, I know you did. The Jazz sweep. I think Saturday Football Tradition is a fantastic website, but it's not the Jazz sweep. Come on. Give me a break.
They didn't invent this last year.
No. If you want to name it after anybody, you can name it after David Gilruth, who was the first one to run it, or you can name it after the guy who ran it best with Mellon. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest about it. But hey, great. If they want to go with the Jazz sweep, made Wisconsin's offense dynamic last year, that's fine.
Yeah.
Teach his own.
Something else that's happened since we, did our last podcast earlier in spring is the Leon Jacobs moved to outside linebacker. And, he was a guy that when you come into spring, you're thinking he's not maybe much of a factor unless a couple of people get hurt because he was their fifth inside linebacker. And he moves to outside, starts taking second team reps immediately. And a couple of weeks in, now he's taking first team reps. And, Tim Timbasar tries to tell me that I shouldn't read into who's taking what reps. But, I think it's still significant that he's the one out there with Garrett Dooley instead of Zach Bond. And I think that he, definitely has a very good chance to start for this team at outside linebacker, the position that he played 3-4 years ago. I remember you told me when the switch, you said, they just should have never moved him. And, maybe he'd be further along right now than...
But the thing is, like, an outside linebacker, it was stacked just like the inside linebacker spot is, because you had, 3 years ago, and he ended up redshirting and getting a year back. So he played 13, 14, 15. He got hurt 15, obviously. But he had been outside, and they moved him inside, where he had, like, 14 tackles against Illinois 1 year, I think as a sophomore.
Yeah.
But I always thought his best position was outside. He's got the body type for it. It's why Dave Aranda went out and got him. He was a basketball player, but he was the type of athlete at outside linebacker that they were looking for. But then he got behind Joe Schobert, Vince Beagle, and, all those other guys. So it kind of made sense to move him to inside. But then he moves to inside, starts, gets hurt, and all those other guys can just fill in. It's an unfortunate, but he's back to where he needs to be, which is that outside linebacker. And I think whether he starts or whether he's the first guy in, I think they're going to play a bunch of different guys. I think he'd play four guys there with Dooley and him and Van Ginkle, who had another pick six today.
Yeah.
And then also Zach Bond. And then who knows with Christian Bell or
Preston.
Keldrick Preston. But Leon Jacobs is where he needs to be, where he's supposed to be, where he should be. That's his best spot, and I think it'll show this fall.
Yeah, and I don't blame the coaching staff for moving him when there was such a needed, much bigger need inside linebacker. But I do
even
feel like
fullback too, though. There was a need. I mean, there was a need over there.
Yeah,
too.
That didn't really work out. But
it didn't. But he. But I mean, because I mean, it turns out that Alec Ingold's a pretty good fullback, and,
yeah.
and Ramish is a pretty good fullback, and so they move him, you know, and then the injuries hit at inside linebacker, and he goes back the other way. So, I mean, he's been a trooper, I guess we'd call him that. Like, he's been a team player first, but he's where he needs to be.
Yeah, really, I mean, such a nice guy, too.
Yeah,
I'm really rooting for that guy, because you said he's a quiet guy, but he'll just come up to you and say hi. And just a really nice guy. So
yeah.
I'm glad he's possibly gonna finally get back in the starting lineup this year as a senior. It's good to see for him.
Me too.
When we entered spring, I think a lot of people kind of had the assumption that Bradrick Shaw was going to be the lead back and Chris James is going to be the Dario Ogunbowale role, just third down guy. And it looks like
Corey Clement thought that.
We probably thought that because Corey Clement told us that he didn't see Chris James as a three-down back, which I don't think Chris is very happy about that when he gets asked about it.
No.
But this looks like a full-fledged battle for the starting running back job. Obviously spring practice, there's not a whole lot of tackling. A little bit hard to evaluate these guys sometimes, but we've seen kind of what James can do in the open field during these last few weeks. What are kind of your thoughts on this? I mean, both guys are going to play a lot regardless,
yeah.
but do you think James kind of could be inching ahead of Shaw? Or
I think he's dynamic, and I think the biggest difference between the two isn't on first or second down. I think they both can run the ball. Like, James is a three-down back. There's no doubt in my mind. He's the same size. Like, he's 220. He's not a small guy by any stretch. He can take the pounding inside. So I don't think that's going to be a problem whatsoever. And if they need to have him carry the load, he can do it. But they'll share carries on those first and second downs. The difference between them right now is they trust one guy on third down, and they don't trust the other guy on third down. They trust Chris James to pick up blitzes. They trust James to be able to go out and catch passes. They trust him in the screen game. They don't trust, and in talking to John Settle about it, it's something that you have to develop with him. They don't trust, Bradrick to be in the place where he needs to be all the time. And so if they want to limit down their third down package, he can play. If you limit down to four or five plays, he's good. But he's not at the point right now where they trust him. And that could still happen, still develop. But last year, it was the same way. They trusted Dare, not so much with Corey. And so you saw Dare play a ton on third down, and I think we may see the same thing. But as opposed to Dare, who maybe wasn't as great on first and second down, Chris James, I think, could be special. I think he's an opportunity to be the next special back in the backfield for them. Some of the moves that he's put on guys in the open field is just – it's embarrassing for those guys. Like, I haven't even wanted to tweet the names of the guys that he's done it to. Now other people have.
Now the Wisconsin Football Official Twitter account,
they tweeted that
a video of Garrett Rand just getting completely
broken. And I've been going, he made a fool of one of the defensive linemen. Or he made one of the safeties just whiff air.
Yeah, too nice.
When in reality it was, one of their backups. So, I mean, it was just... I think he's a special player, and in all three downs. And I don't think they've had that. Even with Melvin, they didn't really have that, because he wasn't necessarily trusted. They haven't had that since James White.
Yeah, and I think that another thing is that Dare was so good on third down that even if they felt like they could trust Melvin or Corey, I mean, Dare was maybe still a better option in a lot of situations, so they didn't really try him. And, this time I feel like Chris James is going to be a great third down back, but I do feel like Shaw still has a long way to go, more so than Corey or Melvin. So we'll have to see how that develops. And Shaw told me early in the spring that he's getting more comfortable in those third down roles, and he feels like he can still play on third down more so than last year. But
it's so much trust.
Yeah.
It's with those guys, right?
And I think pass protection more than anything.
What I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing that you're not going to get our quarterback killed.
It's not just catching the ball. It's
not at all.
Yeah.
Because I think he actually surprised me a couple times with some of the catches he's made.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's about being confident that he's going to be able to step up and hit somebody in the mouth and not get your quarterback killed on a blitz.
And know where the blitz is going to be coming from.
Exactly.
Which guy is going to be left free.
And
there's a lot to it.
There is a lot to it.
Coming out of the spring now, where do you feel like is kind of the biggest concern on the team? There's a couple. I feel like, obviously outside linebacker, they're replacing two starters. placing a couple of starters in the secondary. We've mentioned the tackle position.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think is maybe the biggest concern?
I think we've already touched on it. The tackle spot is a concern.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know. There's no solidity there, or you know, whatsoever. We don't know who it's going to be. Most of the other places we kind of know who it's going to be. We talked about the safety spot, and it was, we haven't talked about the safety spot, but Leo Musso leaves. It's been Natrell Jamerson the entire summer, or the entire spring.
Yeah.
Like it feels like he's going to be the guy. The third corner spot between, replacing Sojourn Chell, it's going to be Nick Nelson, right? So we know that. Yeah. And then the third corner spot's either going to be Luburn or, right now it feels like, either going to be Luburn or Carrier Williams. But you look at some of these others, those were the big spots that they had to replace. The other spot that I would be worried about, simply because of the hits that Alex Hornibrook takes, is backup quarterback.
Yeah, that's something that most people don't really concern themselves with, but it's an important battle.
It is, and I thought it was interesting yesterday, Paul Chris said that they're not even in a position to battle for a spot right now. Like, they're just learning still. That's significant.
Yeah.
Because we saw Alex is a tough kid. And he sat in the pocket and took a bunch of hits last year and delivered the ball anyways. But he also held onto the ball a couple times when he shouldn't have and took hits that were unnecessary. The one against Minnesota that knocked him out of the game. Instead of Bart Houston coming in, now you either have Jack Cohen or Kari Lyles. And I wouldn't feel comfortable with either one of them playing right now. Now, again, it's April. It's still April. And
yeah.
So there's still plenty of time. But to me, that's one of the better, bigger battles of fall camp, because Wisconsin – and you can go back, not since Russell Wilson has the same guy been able to play, take every single snap the entire year without coming out due to injury. It's happened in the past 4 years. They've had injuries where another guy had to come in and play.
Yeah, at least one game.
At least one, or, you know, even in a second half. I mean, Joel Stavi played the entire 2013, but then he got hurt in the bowl game. That's a major concern. That'd be my biggest concern.
Yeah.
Outside of some of the other spots we've talked about.
Yeah, I think that's a good one to bring up, too. And I think the tackle position, to me, is also a concern because, David Edwards, you talked about, okay, so Nick Nelson was named the starter before spring ball and all this stuff. But, David Edwards was named the starting left tackle before spring. It doesn't necessarily mean he's suddenly gotten, a lot better and he's going to be an All-American left tackle like Ryan Ramczyk was. He did have some issues last year. He's still an inexperienced player at tackle. To have him on one side and again, with Jacob Maxwell out, Patrick Castle, a retro freshman who hasn't played at all, is taking all the first team reps on the right side. So, I mean, they got a lot of options, including Dieter at left tackle, like we mentioned earlier. But I think, if that doesn't get sorted out and they're weak at the tackle position, that could really, really hurt the whole offense. So it's So I think that's a big concern too. You mentioned the backup quarterbacks. How do you feel Hornibrook has kind of progressed over the spring? Because I feel like we came in the first couple of weeks and I feel like he kind of started off the spring hot, and then he was named the starter before spring, but these last few weeks he still looks pretty good, but he's thrown some really, really poor balls too. He's thrown some really bad interceptions. Yeah. I don't really have much of concern there, but I mean, what do you think his prospects are for this year? Do you think he's added some velocity to his passes?
It looked like a couple of throws today, down in the red zone, he had. There was a really nice crosser, slant to Kyle Penniston for a would-be touchdown that, was clearly a little bit of zing to that ball. What about Alex? And I think the same thing was said about Joel two springs ago, was he's the starter. He's not looking over his shoulder. He's learning what throws he can and cannot make at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're learning the throws that you can make, learning the throws that you can't make now. And then in the fall, you're not doing the same thing. Joel threw a ton of interceptions, last two springs ago.
Yeah.
And some people will say, well, yeah, and then he went and did it in the fall too. But that, let's be fair about
Joel was never as bad as people remember, I don't think.
Especially with all the injuries that hit them that year. But learn now. Like, who cares if you throw an interception in a practice, in a spring game practice? You know what throw you can make, no you can't. I thought it was interesting, I was talking to him after today's practice about those. And he said, well, we have a nice back and forth with the DBs, and then I go and talk to them in the locker room about, what they saw and why they did what they did based on what the receiver did, and then also like on what beat them, like what beat the DBs, what did you see? So there's talk back and forth between those two sides, which I think is great. I think it's huge. I think it's, you know, they jaw a lot at each other during practice, but it goes both, you know, it goes, there's production out of it. There's something that productive out of it later on. So I think he can have a big season simply because I think he's got a lot of nice weapons around him. I mean, you think about Troy Fumagalli, Jazz Peavy, Chris James, Quintez Cephas, like I think Kyle Peniston, I think they have a lot more weapons now than they did last year. They're a more diverse offense now than they were last year, and I think that'll help him.
After watching spring, I'm going to ask you for, you know, for one breakout player you feel like could really take a step forward this year. I'll go ahead and give one first so you can think about it. But mine, I think, is Quintez Cephas.
See, look at you doing that. That's why you did it first.
That's why I did it first.
Because you knew
I wanted you to take it.
Uh-huh.
I know that's a popular one.
It is.
And people have been writing about him. And, of course, you know, he's obviously been a big story this spring with the death of his father, which is a terrible situation. But I do feel like he's primed to really break out, and I really like what I see from him. He seems like the just like a no doubt starter for me. I don't feel like AJ Taylor, George Rushing, Kendrick Pryor are anywhere near him right now, and I think he's gonna catch a lot of passes this year.
And it's not just the receiving though. Like this is a kid that came and played a ton of ball last year as the blocker.
Yeah,
like who comes in a guy who was a scholarship basketball player before deciding he wanted to come to Wisconsin to Furman? What kind of freshman comes in and plays and starts because of his blocking as a wide receiver? That doesn't happen. Like Brandon Williams came in and played a bunch as a freshman because they needed him to catch balls because Lee Evans wasn't here. This kid didn't catch more than what? He had four catches, I think. But he was on the field a ton.
Yeah.
So I think you're right with that. I think he's going to have a breakout. I'd go a couple of different ways with it. You know, guys that are stepping into the starting lineup for the first time. Garrett Dooley, Nick Nelson, Chris James. I'd go, you know, all those different guys. But I will go with Nelson because I think he's been probably the most impressive, you know, guy, along with Derek Tindall. They've been ball hawks all spring, and very few guys have beaten them. Whether that speaks to Wisconsin receivers or whether that speaks to them, I think it speaks to them and how good that they're going to be. I think that's a duo that, as good as Sojourn and Tindall were last year, you know, for the most part, I think these guys have a chance to be just as good. And the secondary as a whole has a chance to just be good, which is saying a lot considering all the interceptions and all the plays that those guys made last year. But Nick Nelson, I think, it's not going to be Ryan Ramczyk come off the scout team to All-American status, but he's got an opportunity to be an All-Big Ten kid this year.
Well, thanks for joining me after a chilly spring practice where I was wrapped up in a hat and gloves and you were in shorts.
Shorts, yeah. I mean, at least you didn't wear your fur coat. Hey, again, it's you know, a big change from Tuscaloosa to Madison. You've only been here for, what, 3 years now? So
Almost four.
So, you know, you'll get used to it at some point.
I've gone down from the fur coat to the regular coat. I'm still wrapped up in 50-degree weather, so.
It is. You had the hat on. You had the Carhartt hat on and everything. Man.
Yeah.
You're a peach.
Oh, one more thing. What do you think about the spring game being Friday night this year? You know, Wisconsin told me that it has nothing to do with attendance, but I think
the more I think about it, and I wrote about it today, I just don't think they give a crap. Like, I think it's a matter – it's apathy towards it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I could see that.
So, like, they care so little about it at this point that they didn't even want to change the schedule. Like, they didn't even want to go because they've been practicing Tuesday, Thursday, Friday all spring. And they just cared so little about it that they're putting it on a Friday night. And they didn't want to change the schedule. It's on the same night as the band concert. It's on, you know, it's on a Friday when all people are trying to get out of Madison, and then you're going to have a bunch of people trying to come down to Madison. Like, they may get more people than they have the last couple of years for it, but I don't think they give a crap. And Paul Chryst said essentially that they're not going to play anybody. They're going to do practice for the first half of the thing, and then they're going to do a scrimmage where I hope a bunch of young guys get a lot of time, meaning you're not going to see any of the big-time players getting tackled, which makes it even more worthless. It's another practice.
Meaning exactly what they did in the last few Fridays.
It's so – but even less – probably even less than that. You know what I mean? Like, it's – it's apathy, and I respect them for it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
if you don't think this is a big deal, don't change your schedule for it.
Exactly. I mean, if you think it's that unimportant, all right. Your fans clearly think it's unimportant. If you guys think it's as unimportant, I'm on board with that. I still got to be here, but I mean, I'm on board with that.
Yeah, it's fine. I just, you know, for the print people, it's not as ideal as an afternoon.
No,
but. They're not going to change it for me.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I don't even think about that. Are you going to be okay?
I'll make it.
You'll be okay.
It's going to be better than a regular than September 1st.
Yes. So, yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks for joining me, Zach. You can follow him at Zach Heilprin on Twitter. I think that's right.
Yep.
And then follow me at Jason_Galloway. And keep visiting Madison.com for all your Badgers football news. Thanks for listening.